Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 182 of the It's Obvious podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Preston Pugh, and I'm joined by my good and best friend, Garrett Drake.
What's good, boy?
Hey.
How are you doing? Your week?
it was great. Just a lot of work and no play. How was yours?
Well, likewise, my friend. I imagine I didn't work nearly as hard as you did, but I did work just about every day this week. And I work again tonight and the following two nights. So, you know, I'm just keeping it real. I'm actually been staying at Casey's apartment in Atlanta, babysitting our pooch, Peachy, while she's out of town. She gets back early Tuesday morning. So I've just been kind of holding down the fort, taking care of the doggy. And going to work every day. It's kind of weird. It's very lonely because I don't talk to you and Jacob too much during the week, at least as much as we used to. So I've just been kind of in seclusion playing games by myself at her apartment. So that's how my week was.
I hear. Well, that sounds fun. Sometimes yeah. I like just every now and then just having, you know, a place to yourself where you can kind of just, you know, chill. Don't have to worry about anybody bugging you, you know?
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I live that quite frequently, whether I'm here or at my parents' house. So, In that sense, I could have used some company. It's good I had the dog, though. We just hung out and just went on walks and sat around and played games all week. So it wasn't too bad. But it is kind of a weird week. Jacob is not with us, obviously. It's you and I talking via Skype exclusively. No video either. So it is... It's a dead week as far as presentation's concerned, but it's good to be here nonetheless with you, Preston. I miss you terribly, as usual, and I look forward to talking about some video games. I'm trying to think of anything else to talk about for my week that's interesting to spice up the intro here. I don't think I did anything even remotely exciting, nor did I see or hear anything exciting. It's one of those weeks. Anything for you?
I definitely have something to tell you, and I hate to say it yet again, but it's something I cannot say in the podcast.
Okay.
But it is very, very interesting. So I don't even know why I brought it up. I'm just teasing people here now. But yeah, man, nothing really, just super boring. I was just down in Alabama and just doing work down there and trying to get in as much video game time as possible.
You smashed some ass this week, dude?
I did. I played a lot of Smash. Pretty much a lot of Smash and some Madden. That's pretty much cool.
Did you play Madden with Paul?
Yeah, just I played some games that Smash and Madden that, you know, you can play with two people. So,
did you win every football game and every match of Smash?
I won. We only played, I think, one or two football games, And yes, I did win that one quite handily, but it was just due to, I think it was just really late, and he just kept throwing picks, like, one after another, so.
Sounds like me.
But, so, yeah, I definitely won that, and then Smash Bros., I won all but one game, so.
Excellent.
Yeah, but yeah. He's, that was his first time playing, so.
Not so bad though. Did you let him win, or was it a genuine victory?
No, it was a genuine victory. I was playing as like Isabel or something, and I was just learning how to play as her. So, nice. So that's why.
Well, I too played Smash.
A lot of fun. That's cool.
A little bit. I told you I played for. Well, it felt like 10 minutes. It was more like an hour.
Yeah.
But I did a little mini community get together online, and it was me, Kyle, and I think Carlos was there, and a few others. We duked it out for a bit online. It did lag a lot, but is it dependent on their servers, or is it dependent on who's hosting? Is it dedicated servers with Smash? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
Probably not. I have been reading that if you need to get like a LAN adapter if you want it to be, you know, as smooth as possible.
Yeah. And I hope they clean that up, because that is ripe for online play all the time.
For sure.
But I lost the majority of the matches, but it was a lot of fun. And I know Jacob and I had talked about, hopefully the three of us at some point, hosting a stream on Twitch and have a ton of people join in and just get in the lobby and just duke it out for a few hours. It'd be fun. But despite getting my ass kicked all the time, it's a lot of fun still. So
for sure. Yeah, I'm absolutely loving it. Have you unlocked any more characters? You feeling anybody?
I've unlocked probably like 10-15 characters. I'm pretty decent with Link, Kirby, of course. Who else? I like Fox and Samus a lot.
Okay.
So I would say those are the big four for me for now.
Yeah, I pretty much main either Young Link or Simon. I really like Simon.
Yeah, I hear Simon's awesome.
Yeah, he's really easy character to pick up, and he's very like a good like mid-ranged character. He can throw out like the cross and the axes and the holy water, and his whip has some pretty good reach, so you can kind of keep people at bay. I really really like him. I've been playing as a Bayonetta the past couple of nights as well, and she is really awesome. She's fun to play as. And then Zelda. I just randomly picked her a few nights ago, and I had a blast playing with her. And I've been playing as her a lot. She can throw down her down B. She like summons one of those phantom... I'm forgetting the name of them, but I remember they were in the Phantom Hourglass Zelda DS game. But these knights in like purple armor, and she summons them, and they like run across the stage and swipe. I think that's a pretty cool move. But dude, something I figured out actually while I was playing the game, but then I think I saw it in like a tip later on. But have you played as like Ryu or Ken from Street Fighter? Okay, so you know in Street Fighter, to do a Hadouken, you do like down, like you swipe from down to right and you push a button to do a Hadouken.
Yeah.
Which you can just do a Hadouken regularly just by pushing B and not touching anything else, and he'll do a Hadouken. But you can actually do the quarter circle down to right and he'll do a stronger Hadouken.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I just thought that was just so awesome, just how all these characters have these small things or like small callbacks to the game they came from. Like Pokemon take damage when they're in water. If you're a fire Pokemon and you get in water, you like slowly take damage. Just things like that like relate to the character. I think that is so awesome.
Yeah, it definitely has that extra special attention to detail. Yeah. Helps it set apart from not... I mean, obviously, it's a huge cast of characters coming together, Avengers Infinity War style, but 10 times the scale. But like you said, on top of that, it's all those tiny details, all the characters and the stages and the music and everything. It's just the total package as far as... you can't even really say just a Nintendo roster anymore. It's so much beyond that. And it seems like with DLC, it's going to go even further beyond that. So
yeah,
it is pretty freaking sweet, man.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
I might get to play some tonight at work. I have a karaoke night at the venue. So,
oh, nice,
man. I should have some time to kick back and get my ass kicked in Smash. It should be a good time.
For sure. Oh, yeah, something kind of cool did happen. That's unrelated. It kind of has to do with what we were talking about, because we talked about Madden for a second. But so one morning in my hotel room, I go downstairs, and there's just a bunch of giant men down there. Just like,
I like
just
the sound of that.
Just huge dudes, and like so many of them, and so just jacked. I was like what's going on down here? And then I turned the corner, and there's two dudes sitting at a table, like a lot, like just normal looking guys, and they were wearing Birmingham Iron shirts. And then it hit me. I was like, oh, these guys are football players. Paul, my coworker, ran over to me, and he's a big Alabama fan. He was like, dude, there's Blake Sims over there, which he used to be a quarterback for Bama back in 2014-15. I don't remember the exact year. But yeah, there's a new football league starting in February called the AAF. I believe it stands for the Alliance of American Football. And it's kind of like a minor league, not pro. Some former pro players are playing in it, but like I said, it's more of like a minor league, and it starts right after the Super Bowl around February 10th, and It seems pretty cool. There's an Atlanta team called the Atlanta Legends, and former Georgia quarterback Aaron Murray is going to be the quarterback.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, they're playing.
So is he no longer in the NFL? Was he ever in the NFL?
He was in it. I believe he played for the Chiefs for a little bit, but he's been like a SEC analyst on CBS.
Okay.
For like a while now. I actually listened to him in he does a podcast called the Punt and Pass Podcast. And I listened to it. So I've been hearing about him talking about being drafted and stuff for a while now.
That's exciting.
Yeah, dude, I'm actually really, I don't know how long this league will last. Like, who knows like how much money it'll make or whatever. Like, it might only last a season or two, but I'm excited to like get in on it like as it actually starts, and you know, try and follow it, maybe buy some merch or go to a game or two or whatever.
That's cool that it starts right after the Super Bowl too. It's kind of like football year round at that point.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like just off in the dead season. So hopefully it picks up.
I think that's actually brilliant on the league's part to have it occur during that time of the year.
Yeah. So for sure. They're playing at Georgia State's stadium. So I guess they're not more important enough to play at the Benz,
right?
Which doesn't make sense to me because it's like, what else is going on in the Benz?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
soccer. During that time of soccer's year over.
We'll just move the Braves in there too, man. We'll make it a baseball field.
Yeah, like Falcons will be done, soccer will be done. Like, what else is going to be going on in
there? I know it's a music venue a lot of the time for events and such, but mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they'll upgrade to the Benz if they're successful. You know what'll solidify their success is if they make it a lingerie league, like the women's lingerie football league. If they make it the men's version of that, probably move into the Benz fairly quickly.
That's what they need to do, for sure.
I'm not hoping for that, dude. It's just an idea.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But the only thing that I'm a little bummed about is the colors of the Atlanta United. I feel like they should have stuck with the just kind of red and black thing that the Falcons and United. Well, United is kind of like red and gold, but you know, just kind of like red incorporated. But mm-hmm. The Legends are purple and gold.
Purple and gold, huh?
Purple and gold. It's not the worst thing ever. The uniforms look pretty cool, and the shirts that they've kind of released now, they're pretty cool. But I wish they would have stuck with red. But
I'm a fan of blue and gold personally.
Okay.
And purple and gold's cool too, I guess, but blue and gold been nice.
Yeah. But yeah, man, it looks pretty cool. Maybe one day we could all go down to a game since it's just close down to Atlanta and the tickets are ridiculously cheap. We could get season's tickets for like $80.
Dude, done deal.
So it'll be a good time. But
I like
anywho,
the sound of that.
Besides Madden and that, I played some more Beat Saber when I got home. I'm still just absolutely enjoying that game so much. It's just so fun. It's so fast too. It's just like you have 10 minutes, you just hop in, play a song and get off. That's one of the main reasons I'm playing it is because, you know, you can just get just hop in for a second and hop out. Don't have to get dedicated, dude. That's why I have not played Dragon Quest in like a week, and I want to play it so bad, but I'm either too tired when I come home to get invested, so I'll play Smash or something, or when I'm at home, I just have a little bit of time, so I'll play some Beat Saber or something. And Dragon Quest is so involved, like you have to pay attention in the combat, and you have to pay attention to like what's going on in the story. Like I've tried to get into it, so I'll turn on Dragon Quest, and I'll know that to continue the story, I have to like literally run forward from where I'm saved, but I end up running backwards and just start grinding out levels and stuff because I don't have, you know, enough time to get involved in anything. So I'll just be killing random enemies and listen to like a podcast for like 15 minutes, then I'll go off to bed or whatever. So that's a little sad because I really, really, really like that game, but not a lot of time, but hopefully this coming week will be a little more chill and I can hop back into that. So
yeah, I feel you. I played I bought two games this week. I bought The Order again digitally because it was on sale
for like $3 or something.
Yeah, I mean, I had the copy already at my house, but like I said, I was in Atlanta, and I guess in hopes of them potentially making a sequel down the road, maybe that extra $3 will encourage them to do so at some point. But I bought that. I haven't played it yet. I'll definitely replay that at some point for fun. But Bought that, and I also bought The Lost Legacy finally, Uncharted, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I think I'm nearing the end. That's mostly what I played this week.
Oh, did you never play that?
No, I never did.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty solid, and I'm amazed. I know they're very different in a lot of ways, but I'm amazed at how much more I enjoy it over Shadow of the Tomb Raider in so many ways. Not only in storytelling and graphically, gameplay, the acting in the game, all of it, even the writing is just far more engaging than Shadow of the Tomb Raider was for me. And I'm not even trying to dump on Shadow of the Tomb Raider. It's a fine game for what it is, but I'm just reminded of that Naughty Dog quality and the B team of Naughty Dog, nonetheless, for the most part, that worked in that game, and it's still phenomenal. And I've really enjoyed all of that so far, and I'm pretty close to the end. I probably have about an hour left or so, but it's been a good time.
So you're past the big, I believe it's the chapter 4, the big open area.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I liked it in the beginning too, just driving around the Jeep and going to the, it's essentially a little hub world to explore, but I like driving around the Jeep. That feels good, obviously, and finding hidden treasures and extra little puzzles to earn trophies and whatnot. But I really like Chloe and Nadine's relationship and how that develops over the course of the game, and their dialogue's really, really solid. And again, I love Red Dead. And like we've talked about in the previous episodes, I mean, I got really used to the way that game feels mechanically, but Uncharted is just so buttery, silky smooth, even while aiming with a controller just feels excellent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I like Red Dead. I got over the fact that it feels stiff in the beginning, but I was just, again, reminded of just that Naughty Dog polish that was just excellent. And I'm not saying Red Dead isn't polished, but just their third-person action combat shooting mechanics just feel really good. So, and it's kind of my way of experiencing Uncharted 4 again. I don't know if I'll ever replay Uncharted 4 because I only played it that one time. Didn't go for the platinum or anything, but Lost Legacy has been a nice reminder of what I loved about 4. And that's cool to see it through different characters, that just uncharted gameplay and storytelling. And it also encouraged me, I think you guys may have mentioned that, I think if they continue the franchise with new characters, I think it could still be really successful. It's no Nathan Drake, of course, but I think Chloe and Nadine have plenty of charisma to keep me engaged from start to finish. So characters like that, I think I'm on board for whatever they decide to do next with that franchise.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's cool too, though. It was a nice little getaway from the stuff I've been playing recently, like mostly competitive shooters online. And of course I'm enjoying Smash, but as far as just playing something on PS4, it was nice to just go to this exotic, I can't remember exactly where they're at, but this exotic jungle and just explore and solve puzzles and shoot bad guys and stealth around and everything. So it's been fun.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool, man.
Totally, dude. Totally. I think that's all I played. Yeah, I didn't touch PC this week, unfortunately, because I've been gone the whole time. I hope to get back to that later this week. So,
yeah, I hear you. There's really nothing on PC that I really want to play right now.
Besides, yeah, same with me, which is weird because there are countless games on PC at our disposal, and nothing's calling to me at the moment.
Yeah, the only a week or two ago when I had some free time, I would hop in and play a match of Black Ops or something, but now I'm just playing Beat Saber.
It's weird. I'm kind of in a PS4 mood right now for some reason.
Oh no, I am for sure. I told you I could have gotten either Dragon Quest on PC or PS4, and for some reason the PS4 called out to me for that. Same with I think I told you I was probably going to get Resident Evil 2 Remake on PS4 as well for some reason.
Yeah. Is that coming to PC as well?
Pretty sure.
Interesting.
It's coming out.
Yeah, that's a bold move, getting it on PS4.
Yeah, I think I explained it last week that I just have a feeling that I want to get on PS4, but I've platinumed every other Resident Evil on PS4, and the platinums for those games are mostly, or for the most part, have been extremely enjoyable. They require, you know, like multiple playthroughs and stuff like that. And I just enjoy getting the trophies for that. So
yeah,
I'm not worried about performance or anything because Resident Evil 7 ran fine for what I remember. And this looks like it's running good as well. So I don't know. There's just something about Resident Evil, just playing it with a controller feels right to me, that it would feel a little weird if I was playing it, you know, with a keyboard and mouse. I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. What was I gonna say? I know what I'm going to want to play after I see Into the Spider-Verse, which I have yet to see. I'm waiting to see it with Casey when she gets back in town, which was just debilitating this weekend. Everyone talking about the reactions to it.
Everybody is saying it, how insane it is.
You know when you're going to go see it?
Probably this coming week for sure.
Okay. Yeah. I'm hoping to see it Tuesday night finally, because I'm just dying to see that. And I love how they added Peter Parker's suit from the movie to the final DLC of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I'm so happy. Is that a part of the news, the new Spider-Man DLC?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I'll just say my piece when we get to that.
Okay. But yeah, I know I'm going to want to swing around in that game for hours on end after seeing that movie. So I'm very glad the game exists for that reason.
For sure.
So yeah, dude. I also saw The Mule yesterday. Clint Eastwood's new movie. You've seen the trailer for that?
I have.
Okay. Yeah, it was very, very good. It, you know, Clint Eastwood's style, it's weird because it isn't super low budget, but it feels low budget in the sense of, I don't know how to describe it, but it felt very small. The plot was relatively simple, and it wasn't, the movie itself wasn't quite as intense as the trailer made it out to be, but it was still really good. Solid performances across the board. I thought Clint Eastwood was excellent. And I think what really is the draw of that movie is the story, not so much action you'd expect. And the suspense that's promoted in the trailer, the movie isn't as suspenseful as I was expecting it to be. But movie was cool. Clint Eastwood is probably nearing the end of his days, unfortunately. You can see his age in the movie for sure. But he still has, it's funny, amazing how old he is, and he still has that charisma as if he was still in his prime, being a super old guy. But I think when I say it feels cheap is when Tom Hanks said in an interview once that Clint Eastwood is at the point in his career where when he shoots a movie, he'll do one take, and if he's happy with it, he'll just move on. Whereas most directors, where the direct opposite of that, for example, would be David Fincher, where he's known for doing 60 or 70 takes of a single scene, which is just ridiculous to some people and to a lot of people probably. But Clint Eastwood will literally shoot a scene once, and if he thinks it's good enough, he'll be like, all right, let's move on. So some scenes you can kind of feel that. Like I feel like whether it's the way a line's delivered or the way an action scene plays out or a cut happens, I'm like, maybe if they shot that a couple more times, they could have found a better take. But I wouldn't say that takes away from the movie at all. You can just kind of sense that when you watch it. But I really enjoyed the story in the movie, and Clint Eastwood, of course, is awesome, and hopefully he can crank out a couple more before he croaks, because that'll be a sad day, of course. The movie itself reminded me a lot of Gran Torino. If you enjoyed Gran Torino, you'll probably enjoy The Mule. So I recommend it.
Cool.
And to be honest, though, I wish I was seeing Spider-Man that day, but I saw it with my dad for his birthday. So
that's about doing drugs or something, right? Or hauling.
Yeah, he's the mule suggests that he is like a driver who transports drugs from point A to point B in the movie for a drug cartel.
Gotcha. So. A random thing that's just reminding me of the movie. Did you ever see The Shot Caller?
That sounds so familiar. Is that with the guy from Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Yeah, that movie's awesome.
Okay, yeah. That is
I really enjoyed that.
Fantastic movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That one took me by surprise, too, because my mom and sister just rented it on the TV, and it just started when I walked downstairs, and it just caught my attention for some reason. I watched the entire thing and thought it was great.
Yeah, some guy on my Twitter just was like, watch this right now. And for some reason, I actually did. Typically, I don't. But if somebody is like, oh, I swear it's good, give it a watch. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. But for some reason that night, I just had a feeling about it. And yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, it's a good one. I'm also excited to see Bumblebee because the reviews are really solid for that. And same for Aquaman. Aquaman hasn't blown the roof off of Rotten Tomatoes by any means, but it has pretty positive reviews across the board. And I'm a huge James Wan fan, which I've discussed in the past. So excited to see all three of those especially. And it's cool that their trailers looked great, and it's good to know that their movies are just about as good as the trailers are. So
yeah, that's cool.
Super stoked for that. But yeah, dude, I think that's all I have going on, man. If you want to jump into our minimal news from this week.
Yeah, man, let's do it. This is the It's Obvious Podcast, the show where my best friend and I get together every single week to discuss video games. Obviously, you can find all of our content, including the video version of this podcast, over at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. If YouTube isn't good for you or you'd like to take us on the go, you can find this podcast weekly on Audioboom, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and other podcasting services. Please check the description down below for links to our social media pages, our Discord channel, PlayStation names, our PlayStation community, pretty much anything you would ever need to get in contact with us. And be sure to like and comment down below to get involved with the It's Obvious community, and be sure to subscribe to the channel as well. And yeah, we would be forever in your debt for that. And with all that out of the way, hey man, what's the news?
Let's see, Preston. Like I said, it's quite small. We should have talked about this while we were talking about movies a second ago, but have you seen the Godzilla, the new Godzilla King of the Monsters trailer?
I think I saw one, like, wasn't there one that came out a while ago?
There was, but there's a new one that's out.
Okay, I have not seen the new one.
Okay, dude, it is so awesome. I'm so excited for that movie. I've never been like a Godzilla junkie or by any means, or like a monster, like a huge monster movie fan. But this movie looks so good, and I'm hoping it is, like I said, with all these other movie trailers that are, their movies are delivering on the promise of their trailers. I'm hoping Godzilla does the same, because the trailer is mind-blowing, like the visual effects and the scale of the monsters and all the monsters in it. And it looks so epic, too. And Bear McCreary did the music for God of War, doing the music for the film as well.
Oh.
So all those reasons, I'm very excited. You should check it out. It looks awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I really, really enjoyed the first one.
Yeah,
I think I went and saw it like two or three times in the theater. I don't remember.
Man, if you liked the look of that one, I think this trailer is going to get you really hyped, because it looks incredible.
Yeah, I will. So, definitely going to check it out.
Speaking of things on a large scale, have you seen the alpha footage for Beyond Good and Evil, where the developers talk about kind of the gameplay and the world itself?
I saw that they were doing some live stream, and I just haven't gone and watched it back again. Did you check it out?
I did, yeah. I skimmed through it a bit. I watched in its entirety about the first 10 minutes while I was at work the other night. Mm-hmm. And I skimmed through the rest. But I'm amazed at just how gargantuan its world is and their ambition for that game. And it's bizarre to me, because it almost feels like they're just using the Beyond Good and Evil title to sell the game or to promote the game. Because some people are relatively familiar with that title, especially you, of course, people who played the original game. But mm-hmm. I'm interested to see how, other than the characters, some of the characters, of course, gameplay wise, how it even remotely reflects the original game. Not that that really matters, but it's just such a departure from what you've described to me as the original that it's kind of surprising.
Yeah, I love the original. I rented it on a whim at, I forgot what video store it was. It wasn't Blockbuster or Hollywood Video. It was just some random one near my house, and never heard of it or anything. Just picked it up, and I remember even as a kid just being shocked at how much I loved it, and I never even heard of the game or anything. But when I think of that game, I think of the characters of Peg. I believe he's the pig, and then Jade, the main character, and I just remember sneaking around a lot and like taking pictures of things, and then driving around on a boat and collecting these spheres. But and then there was combat, but I don't think it was anything like insane. I just remember a ton of stealth segments. So yeah, but based on the alpha footage I saw, like even before what this came out, yeah, I have no clue how this relates to the original. So I know it's a prequel, so I'm sure there has to be story beats or things that, you know, relate to the original. Like they can't just, you know, have nothing to do with it. But
I liked how there are multiple species you can play as. I don't know if I have the courage to play as an ape, but it's kind of cool that you have the option. Some RPG elements in there. We'll see how many people describe the game. It's just an RPG through and through. But, you know, it has like the stats you can build up and gear you can find and customize. And you have your own little ship you can customize, which is pretty cool, and fly it all over the galaxy, I guess. Uh-huh. And I thought I was pretty impressed that they are having it where if you're playing co-op with someone, you can literally be in space on like a space station and your buddy can be all the way down on the planet just roaming the city at the same time.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. Do you think this will land on current gen? Do you think this is definitely next gen? Because it seems next gen to me.
Yeah, but it's not coming out anytime soon.
No, because it definitely seems like it has a long, long, long way to go.
Yeah.
But I do like how open they're being with the development process in that game, because they've been pretty transparent since it was announced. And I wish more developers would do that. And I get to an extent that sort of spoils things for people.
Yeah.
But I wish we could find a nice middle ground between being incredibly secretive and being as transparent as I know it's Ubisoft, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I wish we could find a middle ground there. Like, I'd love to see more of, I mean, I'm sure we will at some point, but more of Cyberpunk, for example. Really games that, I mean, I think especially open world type games, because they're a little more, I feel like you can get away with revealing more without spoiling stuff, whereas something like The Last of Us Part 2, for example, is so focused on story that the more you show, the more it's going to give away. Even the world itself is like a character in that game, and even just locations and stuff can give away plot points. So I get why you have to be extra secretive with narrative-driven games like that, but games with the size and scope of like an open world character-driven RPG or something could be cool to see more of as the development goes on. But I don't know. That's just my two cents on the that situation. But Beyond Good and Evil looks pretty cool. Probably play it.
That's really cool.
I wanted to ask you, are you allowed to talk about Anthem yet?
No, I'm not.
Okay, because I watched another developer. I think it was IGN posted it of a developer live stream where they talked about the game a bit.
I don't think so, because I was listening to a podcast. I forget which one, but they were still saying they're going to talk about it.
Right. Okay. So because I imagine there's some stuff in the alpha that they did not talk about in that live stream, but
maybe
it looks cool. I mean, of course, like I've said, I want to design my what are they called again? Jaegers or something? That, no, that's from
Javelins.
Javelins, because I'm thinking Jaegers from that Guillermo del Toro movie, Pacific Rim. I didn't see the sequel; I heard it was terrible. But I want to design my javelin and, of course, customize the colors and the gear. I think that alone, just the idea of making my own Iron Man suit and shooting aliens, even if it's for only 5 to 10 hours max, and I bail like I did with what's that other Ubisoft game that we're excited about? The Division.
Yeah.
Because I'm excited about The Division 2 for some reason. It just looks really cool to me. But the idea of playing Anthem and even The Division on PC, similar games where it's kind of like a sort of grindy, loot-based, and customize your gear and your weapons and stuff. But Anthem's intriguing in the sense where you're on a foreign planet in an Iron Man suit. So I'm not intrigued enough, like I said, to have signed up for the alpha, but the gameplay I've seen is slowly grasping my attention more and more. So I'm hoping when you can finally talk about the alpha, it really makes me want to play it for myself.
Yeah.
But yeah. Bummer, dude. I was hoping to dig some info out of you.
Oh, I mean,
but in time, I guess.
I don't know.
You and Jacob both.
We might be able to talk about it right now, but I don't know. But I'll Google it and stuff, see if when I can. It's not like it's not a big deal at, I don't know. I feel like, I feel like I can't talk about it because it's so secret and important and stuff. And if you actually saw what it was,
you find out it's actually the next Mass Effect and Anthem's a code name.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's actually Dragon Age, dude. It's Dragon Age in the future.
Yeah. But speaking of Mass Effect, this reminds me, have you heard or read anything else about the new Obsidian game, the Outer Lands? I keep forgetting what the name of the game is.
I've seen some headlines. Since the initial reveal, I haven't read much more into it other than just headlines I've seen.
Yeah. So apparently it is not a open world game.
Really?
Yes. It is more of a Mass Effect type game where there are big areas that you explore. And it is not a massive AAA type game either. Like, the develop cycle for this, I believe, is only going to be like 2.5 years. And it's, I believe the article I read stated that they were saying it was like a AA game. So, just kind of those two things. Because, I think the headline of the article was something about like everybody's calling it Fallout New Vegas 2.0 or like the next big like Fallout killer or something like that. But so people thinking that, and I was kind of thinking that as well when they released it, but need to kind of like taper your expectations on how big or how massive like this game is going to be. So it's not going to be anything like New Vegas in terms of like scope or content and stuff.
So that's good. Good to hear, I guess, to go in knowing that.
Yeah. Now, besides that, I still think it's going to be really, really good. I have no doubt they're going to tell a really cool story, and you're going to have, you know, choices that affect it. I almost feel like with it being a smaller game, then they might be able to make your choices like matter more, you know, because it won't be as difficult if it was, you know, a bigger, massive game. But I'm still nonetheless very, very excited for that game.
Yeah, you and me both. The more I hear about it, the cooler it sounds. So it is surprising that's not open world because it seemed that way in the trailer. But thanks for filling me in there.
Just big areas.
I can get into that, brah.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
I agree. Before I forget, I wanted to plug this real quick. I was fortunate enough to be a guest on COG's latest episode of their podcast, which I'm not sure if it's gone live yet, but it's all about their Game of the Year awards. And it was super fun and always an honor to be a part of that when I can. So if you guys have any interest in hearing their Game of the Year awards that I was in a part of, it's interesting how they do it. They have a discussion about all their nominees and then they kind of decide on the top 10 together. So it's kind of cool in that sense. I thought it might be kind of fun for us, which will probably be, I hope it'll be next week if Jacob can be with us, but we're going to do our Game of the Year talk and like our top 5 games of the year and everything. I think it'd be cool if we discuss our personal games of the year, but then also decide in like in unison what we think should be like the number one game of the year and see if we garner any, discussions and arguments about what we think deserves to be the game of the year. Knowing us, we'll probably agree regardless on whatever it is. But I'm interested to see if we can kind of have a discussion about what we think really deserves to be number one, even beyond like our personal game of the year.
Uh-huh.
So that was kind of fun. But if you guys don't already listen to COG's podcast, it's pretty awesome. And it was an honor to be a part of that. So just wanted to plug that. If it's not already out, it should be out soon.
That's cool.
Anyway. You heard about Epic's crossplay tools?
I did, yes.
Yeah, this is pretty groovy. I like how, beyond just the immense success Epic has seen through Fortnite, that they are investing their success into benefiting the industry as a whole. Notably, of course, with their store, which has now been undercut by Discord's new store that's incoming, which is hilarious. But <Yeah. laughs> that and... These crossplay tools that they're dishing out for everyone to enable developers on any engine from any company to implement crossplay if they so desire. And it doesn't even have to be just entirely across the board. They can mix and match where if they want to do, we would just want to crossplay Xbox and Android. I don't know why you'd ever want to do that, but they have that option. So that's really awesome. And I'm of course not a Fortnite hater. I don't particularly enjoy playing the game that often, but you can't deny its success, and Epic's valiant efforts to benefit the industry through that success is pretty cool. So it'd be one thing if they just flaunted their billions like they typically do it on show floors at the past 2 conferences I've been to. But even aside from that, they're doing a lot of cool things. So I thought that was pretty sweet.
That is cool.
Yeah, I'd like to see crossplay for a few things. I think like Zach and I, for example, Zach was playing Battlefield on Xbox and I was on PC, and we could not crossplay, unfortunately, but that'd be kind of cool.
Mm.
So, I mean, crossplay, of course, has been a pretty big topic this year, especially. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out in 2019 if developers utilize these tools to bring crossplay to their games. So there's a lot to look forward to next year. I'm excited. Even things like that, even beyond the games themselves or features and stuff and potentially new console announcements and everything.
Like the new Soulja Boy console.
Totally, dude. See, I've already pre-ordered several of those because I want one in every room of my house.
No, I'm not even talking about the one we talked about last week. I'm talking about
is there another one?
There's another one, yeah. It's okay. Called the Fuse.
The Fuse. Now, what's different about the Fuse?
This is a $400 console.
Okay, what's the deal with this? Is it just more games already built into it?
I think so, but it's I saw one of the games was Mighty Number 9. So it's like it's not just, you know, old emulated games. I think it's like somewhat newer games.
So new, really successful, critically acclaimed games like Mighty Number 9.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I started Googling this thing, the Fuse, because obviously he just stole it from somewhere. And I found a GameSpot video from 2 years ago. And this Chinese company was at E3 debuting this console like it's a 2 years ago. It's got just like a knockoff Xbox One controller, and it looks like a PS4 console, kind of. So it's just like a smush, or a hence the name Fuse, like a fusion of both of them. But yeah, it's so funny. Like I have no clue like how he's like doing this, because I follow him on Twitter now because of this, and he just is constantly saying like, I've made over $1 million on this stuff. And I just like, what idiots are buying this stuff?
Sounds like there's plenty of idiots out there. I mean, we do live in a pretty large world full of billions of people, so there's got to be at least a percentage of them that are idiots.
Yeah.
That invest in this. But hey, if they enjoy it, I don't see
some,
that much harm.
Some poor kid is getting a Soja game console for Christmas.
Can you imagine? I mean, it'd be one thing if they don't know the difference, but to think you're getting like a real console and then getting that would be pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah, because like, let's say like a parent is like, who, like this scenario that probably maybe the scenario that I'm going to talk about probably has happened one time, but like, let's say this random like dad A follows Soulja Boy on Twitter because he used to crank that Soulja Boy back in high school. So he just follows Soulja Boy on Twitter, knows nothing about games, sees there's a new Soulja Boy console, buys it for his kid, and is like, oh yeah, dude, I'm sure my kid can play Fortnite on this thing because everything's on Fortnite. And the kid opens it up and he's playing an emulation of freaking like Street Fighter 2 Alpha Protocol Hyper 5 Edition on Christmas Day, you know?
It sounds so sick, dude.
While he's wearing his Soulja watch.
I certainly hope so. While playing Crank That Soulja Boy in the background.
Yeah, with his Soulja ear pods as well.
Are those
listening
a thing?
To it, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like quite the Christmas day, if you ask me.
Yeah. Yeah, on second thought, that sounds perfect. So,
mm-hmm. You know, I haven't asked for much this year for Christmas, but I think you've just enlightened me on what I really need in my life. And it's all of those things Christmas morning.
For sure, man.
So, yeah, thanks for that.
No problem.
So just to throw it out there, since we mentioned it, Discord Store is going to offer developers 90% of game revenues. So that's pretty insane. Whereas Epic's was it 70%, something like that?
Yeah, it was 730.
Yeah, so that's pretty wild. And it's funny how this war has begun among companies wanting to make their own stores.
Now there's another company just going to be like, we make no money. Just come here and get 100%.
Yeah. You're going to get 99.9% of your revenue. So now I wonder how Epic will respond to this, because it's not like Epic needs to go the 90%, but why wouldn't developers go for Discord over Epic if it's that much of a difference?
Uh-huh.
So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
I think it's Epic also I guess it has to do with like exposure and stuff on said launcher, whereas like Steam, if you can get on the page, or you know, more people are using Steam, so I guess there's a higher percentage chance of somebody seeing your game in that store,
for sure.
But I don't know, with like a trillion people playing Fortnite, and there's like, as of now, there's like 8 or 9 games on there, then if you could like push really hard right now to be one of those few games, then that's a lot of people seeing your stuff when they're booting up Fortnite.
Yeah. Same with Discord, though. When you think about a ton of people use Discord even when they're not playing games. So, and Discord advertises when you open it up now, like their store has all kinds of stuff that's thrown in your face. So if you're one of the first few games on Discord store, I imagine you'll be promoted a bit and it might catch someone's attention while you're there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think both for Epic and Discord, I mean, indie games have potential to really see some, or like you said, exposure especially, but see some success financially just from those deals. So yeah. That's pretty cool. Just in addition to, of course, Steam and everywhere else they have their game. But yeah, I wonder if it's a situation where if you're on Epic Store, you can also be on Discords, or if there's barriers to that. I don't know. But might as well go for both of them if you can.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that Spider-Man Silver Lining trailer?
Oh, I think it looks great. I'm excited to play it. I love the Spider-Man DLCs. I think the suit selection is the best out of the DLCs so far. I think all three of them look freaking awesome.
They do.
And as I was going to say earlier, I absolutely love that the Sam Raimi suit is not here. I love it. I love that people are just losing their minds.
Out of spite and also just because you don't really like the look of it anyway, right?
Both.
Yeah.
I think it's an overrated suit, and I love that people are just pissing their pants in rage over it because it's so stupid. Yeah. But I'm sure just the I don't know if I've already said this before, but who knows if there are like legalities and stuff with the. I know Sony's doing it, but like they're using the two movies now, they're using the Spider-Verse, sir, and then they're using the two MCU costumes, you know? So maybe like there's a partnership with Disney or something to exclusively use those, and they can't use like the Amazing Spider-Man or the original Spider-Man because they're like Sony films or something. I don't know. Like maybe there's a reason because of that. But also my first point, like, it's not that cool. Like, it's just a normal looking Spider-Man suit with like silver webs. Like, that just would have been a waste of a slot, in my opinion.
So. Yeah, I get that. I don't endorse the rage by any means, but I do relate to both sides of the fence on this one. I see why, for the sake of nostalgia, why people would want that suit, because a lot of people grew up with those movies, as you and I did. And I'm in the same boat. I don't love that suit, but I like it in the sense of just kind of the story behind it and who wore the suit and loving those movies as a kid. And to an extent, I still really enjoy those movies, especially the first and second one. But I think it's nostalgia for most people, but I think the best point I've seen that you also mentioned online is that there are three or four suits that look like the classic suit already with just variations to them. So I don't need it either, but I understand why people are upset. But again, I don't get what the rage is all about. It's fine to be disappointed, but to freak out online about its absence is ridiculous.
Yep. I agree.
So, but yeah, I love
it. It's been annoying personally, like every single Insomniac post on Twitter especially, is just like every comment is like, where's the Raimi suit? Where's the Raimi suit? So I'm glad.
I feel bad for him too, because they developed one of the best games, not only of the year, but in my opinion, one of the best games ever made, especially for superhero games. And the tail end of their story this year is people whining about a silly little costume in the game.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But dude, the Spider-Verse suit looks cool, but the Cyborg suit and then that other armor looks so freaking cool.
Yeah, I love the armor especially.
Yeah, the eyes in the new armor, just how like sharp and like jagged they are, like so cool.
And imagine playing the entire game in the Cyborg suit. That's ridiculous. I mean, imagine playing the game in the undies suit, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, those suits are really cool. I'm excited to have those and probably nick away at some New Game Plus again once I play through this DLC. But
did you ever finish Turf Wars?
I did, yeah. I liked it a lot.
Okay. Did you like so you finished the first one as well?
I did, yeah. I'm all caught up.
Okay. I don't want to spoil anything, but what did you just think about the story in the first one?
I enjoyed the story more in the first one than I did Turf Wars, but I like Hammerhead a lot, and I actually really, really like the opening to Turf Wars a lot. I thought it was an excellent opening mission. But of course, I think Black Cat, like I said, her on-screen chemistry with Spider-Man is
awesome.
Very entertaining.
Yes.
And I want to see more of that, of course, and I think everyone knows she's still alive. She obviously didn't die in that explosion, but I assume she's going to show up. I assume she's going to show up in part 3 to help Spider-Man deal with this big finale in some way.
All right.
But
let's not spoil anything else, just in case.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot that not everyone has played
yeah.
this. Yeah. Good thing I'm not talking about Red Dead's ending or anything right now. Forget everything I said. We're making things up right now.
Yeah, though I can say, having played all those that I guess technically it's a spoiler, but that's not like a big deal.
It's not. No, yeah, not at all. So I didn't spoil any of the good stuff in the story. Anyway,
yeah, there's yeah, the best thing, which I'm assuming like it to be extremely vague. That one kind of plot point with him and Black Cat. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
I thought that took me by surprise, to say the least.
Yeah, me too. It was yeah. solid. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Very fitting for her character too.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Consistent all the way through. I dug it.
For sure.
Yeah. We'll see what Silver Sable's got in this follow-up for the big finale. I'm kind of sad. I hope they have maybe something more planned. But, I mean, if this is all we get, I'm very satisfied because the core game is excellent, as we know, and the DLC's been fun. And we have plenty of suits to fly or to swing around in.
Yeah.
So
I'm just so happy that it takes place after the main game.
Yeah, me too. I appreciate that.
That is so cool, just kind of hearing Peter somewhat getting caught up with some characters after, you know, the original end of the game, just to, you know, kind of catch up. So, you know, we're not waiting years and years just to see kind of, you know, what's going on in that universe after the credits ended.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, Preston, Metro Exodus has officially moved, but not in the way we expected. You know, we anticipated it to potentially be delayed, but it has been moved forward a week to February 15th.
Yeah, that shocked me.
Yeah,
honestly,
I guess Anthem is really spooking all these developers, man, or these publishers at least, because no one wants to compete with Anthem on day one, I guess. But which is not a surprise, because a lot of us expected for these games to move. But of all the days for it to move to, I did not expect it to move forward a week. So they must have a lot of confidence in the build they're currently at for it to move forward a week. So I'm very excited to play that, though. I love the first two. I still haven't finished the first one because I'm in the middle of the librarian sequence in the first one. But loved Last Light, so I'm very excited for Exodus.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited for it.
Totally,
I just
bro.
Hope it comes out and is stable.
Yeah, me too. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Especially on PC. I imagine it'd be pretty solid on PC because both Last Light and 2033 are really smooth on PC. And both times I played the game were on Xbox One. So, and it was buggy.
That's the problem right there.
Yep. That's the footstool's fault. And that's the excuse I'm going to use for now.
For sure.
Hashtag not fanboys, by the way. Preston, I don't have any more news unless there's something that happened in the news this week that I overlooked and that you know of.
I don't think so, sir.
Right.
Oh, Kingdom Hearts 3 has been leaked.
Oh, yeah. Thankfully, I haven't seen any spoilers, but that's a big bummer.
Yeah. Even if I saw spoilers, no, but I probably would not even understand any of it.
Okay.
Anyways.
I just don't want to know all the worlds in the game. I don't really care about story points either, but I don't want to have the world spoiled for me.
Yeah. Did you see the did you see the PS4 Pro bundle?
I've seen what the console looks like. I haven't seen what's included in the bundle.
Just what the console looks like.
It looks awesome.
Very cool looking console.
It looks very awesome.
Very slick. That Jacob needs to jump on that.
I think he should
too.
I think he's probably not going to because he just invested in those PC components. But
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, if I was going to get one, that'd be the one I'd get if I had not already invested in a Pro.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
I've bought 3 Pros. That's how much.
That's amazing.
So much I
that's
love PlayStation.
And you only have one in your possession right now, right?
No, I have two. I have the God of War and the Spider-Man.
Would you ever sell Jacob your God of War one for a reduced price?
No.
Okay. You just like the look of that one on your shelf, don't you?
Yeah, it's just in my bookshelf right behind my Kratos statue.
And you played God of War on that console, right?
I did. That's the only game I played on that console.
Nice. That's kind of fitting. Yeah, I should remain that way forever.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How are you liking your Spider-Man machine these days?
I like
it. Still playing your PS4 games normally?
Yeah. But believe it or not, every disc I put in there... it actually plays it. Spider-Man doesn't automatically play.
Oh, really? That's surprising.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think, I don't know if I'm crazy, but I think my God of War one is quieter.
I'll have to swap it out.
But I could be crazy. But no, I'm loving my Spider-Man one. I think it's the coolest looking one for sure.
Yeah, I'm not jealous or anything, dude, I swear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of PlayStation, I keep forgetting to take back my PlayStation 1 Classic. I don't even know if I talked about that on the podcast, but I pre-ordered it and canceled it, and they still sent it to me. And I'm pretty sure they still charged me, too. And I keep forgetting to take it back to Best Buy, so I have this PS1 Classic just sitting on my shelf over here.
Yeah, just hanging out. At least it looks cool.
It does, but...
Excuse me. I'm going to use a different adjective. It looks adorable, I imagine.
I don't know. I haven't opened it yet, but I know you can hack it. I saw somebody's already done that, so...
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah, maybe I...
Dude, if I could get, like, Halo on it and... Maybe I'll put Smash Bros. On it too, dude, and just play that from home on that. That'd be pretty sick.
If I can just get Legend of Legania or Legalia, whatever it is, on there, then I would be completely happy, and I might keep it if that was the case.
If I could get Jedi Power Battles on it so I could finally beat it in my older age, then that'd be nice. I was incapable of beating it as a child.
Okay.
That was the Dark Souls of PlayStation 1, was Jedi Power Battles.
Definitely. I remember getting to the second world, or like on the where does Jabba live? Not Jabba, freaking
Tatooine.
No, where what's his face lives?
You're talking about the Gungans?
Yeah.
That's as far as I made it to where Jar Jar's from. Yeah, Naboo is the planet.
Okay, yeah, that was the second level.
Yeah,
I remember these like animals would all be running across the screen. You'd have to dodge them or something.
Yeah. It's funny about that game. It really wasn't even the gameplay that was challenging. It was the mechanics were awful. It just felt horrible to control.
I mean, I'm sure
there's a lot of platforming in the game too. I would always fall to my death in that game.
Yeah, you think it was actually hard, or we were just stupid kids?
Yeah, I think it's pretty hard because I remember playing it at Zach's house in high school again because he still had the game on something, and. It was still hard, so I think it's just the mechanics' fault. Because I mean, think about it, we played games that were arguably harder than that when we were kids that we were capable of beating. But
that's true.
So it's just a dinky controls, man. But hey, I loved it nonetheless because it was Star Wars. Let's hope Jedi Fallen Order, whatever it's called, Respawn's game is way better than Jedi Power Battles.
Let's hope.
That'd be nice. Man, if we have those buttery smooth mechanics from... I'm not saying I want to run on walls like a pilot from Titanfall, but if it even feels remotely as good as Titanfall feels, then I will be a happy camper. I'll be a happy Jedi, I'll say.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. Dude, let's jump into community questions, brah.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can't say this enough. Thank you so much for continuing to send us questions week in and week out. Even on weeks like this, when there's not much to discuss, is when we most appreciate them, because not only we get to hear from you guys and talk about some hilarious stuff, some interesting stuff, but it fills up the latter half of this episode when the news is shallow. So thank you for doing so. If you'd like your questions read on this show or Ask IOG, which we may do once more before the year ends, that'd be nice. You can reach us in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming. Or submit your questions in the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel. Now, excuse me, got to catch my breath there. If you want your questions read on air, publicly, to the world, always include the hashtag #AskIOG with your question so we know you want it read on the podcast, because we don't want to accidentally read your private messages. So please include that at all times. That being said, I almost called you Jacob. Sorry, I'm used to doing these one-on-ones with Jacob these days. First one comes from... grabbing a couple from YouTube here. I didn't have a chance to put them on a separate sheet. From Dexter Clark. He writes in and says, curious to know what y'all think of Just Cause 4. I usually love the series, but was very disappointed with the texture issues, motion blur, and horrible cutscenes debacle. I mean, the cutscenes are rendering at like 900p on Xbox One on a 4K TV. Sorry for the rant, just really disappointed. Great show. Happy to have Preston back in the round table. That was on YouTube this past week. I agree, and Preston's once again absent from this table, and so is Jacob. I'm all in my lonesome, unfortunately. But We have not played Just Cause 4. You haven't played it, right?
No, I have not. I haven't played a Just Cause since like the second one.
Yeah, I never played 3 as well. I did play 3. I played 3 for a single Let's Play that Jacob and I did, and for some reason it didn't grab me, and I never played it again after that. But which is weird, because I love the idea of just causing absolute mayhem in those games creatively with all the tools at your disposal, but for some reason I've not felt compelled to play them, and especially 4, because the reviews have been pretty poor, and I hear the story missions are just horrible. Not horrible, but just very repetitive and not at all interesting. And
yeah,
it's one of those games where you're kind of forced to make your own fun, which I don't always say, because in a lot of ways it's just a really fun sandbox to run around in and just blow stuff up for a little while. But it sounds like fans of the series that have been pretty dedicated to it for a while seem to be mostly disappointed with it across the board.
Yeah, so I was listening one of the Easy Allies podcasts. It's called Frame Trap.
Yeah.
It's pretty much just a really long podcast where people just talk about what they're playing. And I'm blanking completely on the dude's name, but he's the big Just Cause fan, and he pretty much kind of went on for like 20-30 minutes about how he just loves Just Cause, and he'll still like buy the next one. He's a sucker for buying them, but just how disappointed he was in this one, just how it adds absolutely nothing from the third one. The story sucks. The new weather things they added do absolutely nothing. Like you just said, the story missions suck. Lots of graphical issues. I believe he said the character models were like the worst this generation that he had seen. So,
yikes.
Yeah. I've not heard very good things about it.
Well, that's a major bummer. Dexter, I'm sorry to hear you two were disappointed by the massive disappointment that Just Cause 4 is. But I can't relate, unfortunately.
It's a piece of crap.
Yep, it's the worst game of the year by far.
Yeah.
Fallout 76 is way better. Should have played that instead.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I know there's one more in here. Where'd it go? Maybe someone replied elsewhere. It's vanished. One sec. I can find it. Have faith. I can't find it. I'll have to come back to it next week.
Okay.
On to Discord. Bear with me here. I walked in my door and sat down to record this podcast. That's how crammed we are this week. Very limited on time, as usual. Let me find the top here. Smash is released. Holidays coming. We read that. Read that. Okay, here's one from Kyle. Kyle writes in and says, in fact, I think this is the only one on Discord. I'm going to pull up our backlog here in a minute. Kyle writes in and says, "Hello, gentlemen. I'll have you know the content you produce here in this fine part of the interwebs gets me fucking steamy. I've recently done a deep dive into the Golden Saucer and Final Fantasy XIV, which, if you don't know, is a two-story casino stocked to the brim with minigames from chocobo racing to card games to an actual StarCraft-esque clone that uses the pets you've collected as units. Needless to say, I'm spending almost all my time farming this place out, and it's been a blast. That being said, what is a time you feel a game took the extra mile to include additional content for the better or the worse? Do mini games tend to grab your attention in games, or do you usually push them aside to stick to the main content? Keep up the great content, boys. If you stop, I will run out of things to masturbate to." Well, that's good enough. He also includes, "In my drunken stupor, I've thought of a question that I want some serious thought of you, that I want serious thought out of you boys. If you could define your love life with a video game title, what would it be? To give an example, mine would be Command and Conquer 3, Red Alert." So let's answer the mini games and extra content in the game first, and then we'll get on to the love life titles.
Okay. All right, you go ahead. I'm not exactly sure I understood the question, so if you answer it, maybe I'll have a better understanding.
Okay. I was just playing a game with mini games in it that I really enjoyed. I'm trying to think what it was. Dadgummit, bruh. What was it? I can't remember. Can you think of anything?
think of any games with a ton of extra content.
Any games that like developers went the extra mile as far as like an additional little area, whether it be middle mini games or a bit of content that isn't really part of the main gameplay loop of the game, but it's just a little extra bit there that was cool.
I mean, I guess Red Dead. There's like a billion mini games. I feel like half of that game is just they went out of their way to just make extra stuff.
Yeah. All for the sake of just further immersion, I guess. You know, yeah. Like the dominoes, poker, five finger fillet, fishing, hunting. I mean, hunting's a really big part of the game, but stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I always appreciate that, of course.
God of War. I feel like the two added realms of I'm gonna completely butcher the name, like Mesfelheim and Nilfgaard, whatever it is,
yeah.
Or Niflheim or whatever. Those two areas, bro, I thought were really cool. Kind of switched up, like, of course it's combat, but kind of just made it a little different, adding challenges and adding like a timer, kind of making it more urgent, you know, getting through the areas in Niflheim, whatever it was called. So it switched up the gameplay just a bit, and that those two realms totally felt like things that could have been added on for DLC, like easy, but they were included, so I thought that was awesome.
That is pretty cool.
Now, what game would describe your love life, Garrett?
Well, there's different stages here. In high school, I'd probably have a different title than I would today. Yeah, in high school, my buddy Zach and I, who you've probably heard in this podcast in the past if you're a longtime listener, went on many, many, many double dates in high school, almost exclusively. We never really dated alone. We always went on double dates, and we'd only date girls who were friends with each other. It just was more fun that way. So maybe I'm trying to think of some good co-op games here. What's that game where you wear the masks and it's a co-op shooter?
Oh, Payday?
Yeah, maybe Payday. That's not okay. A good title, but think of co-op games is what it was kind of like. It was like Cookies and Cream that we used to play, that co-op game.
Sure.
Maybe you could say in high school it was more like Super Mario Odyssey.
I think the titles are supposed to, I don't think it's,
yeah,
like
the title's supposed to describe it.
Yeah, not the,
no, I'm thinking gameplay.
Game.
It's because gameplay is key, dude.
Yeah.
I'm really bad with remembering titles off the top of my head. I'm gonna look at the posters in my room here. Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, dude. You got any for me?
Doom.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was looking at my Doom poster a second ago. Anthem, man.
Anthem.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Justice League, The Walking Dead. Hunt Showdown, dude.
That's a good one. Hunt, that should be yours for sure. Hunt Showdown.
Yeah. I'm in a committed relationship at the moment, so I can't use Hunt Showdown, but perhaps in high school and maybe my early college days, it was Hunt Showdown.
Tomb Raider.
that's perfect.
That's
or just Uncharted, The Lost Legacy. Uncharted, A Thief's End is probably pretty good.
Okay.
The Last of Us. Now we're just naming video game titles.
Yeah, just name
realistically,
it.
Realistically, I'd say high school, college, early college era was Hunt Showdown, probably. And, of course, any kind of co-op title you can think of. Nowadays, it's probably, I don't know, something meager, like something normal. I don't know, man. I'm very, very bad at thinking of titles off the top of my head.
We named enough.
Yeah, I think we're good. I think we got our point across there.
For sure.
Let me pull up our backlog of questions here. One sec. I know we have a few we can use. Forgive us for not being prepared. Dude. We're saving that for next week. Can't use that one.
Is anybody at a COG or... anything you know of working on that new Insurgency game that came out?
That was on the list of games to review this month, but I didn't ask for it. I thought about asking to review it myself, and I'm sure someone's on it by now.
Mm-hmm. Game looks pretty cool, in my opinion.
It does look pretty cool. So, yeah, I might wind up playing that depending on the reviews. Here's one from Josh Scriber I can read.
Okay.
Josh writes in and says, "My friends, the time is upon us. Hope you all had a productive week because the saga of catching up on multiple games has arrived. If you guys had to pitch a game idea to a developer with no visual presentation, what would it be? For the longest time, I've created a full-fledged Yu-Gi-Oh! Game for PS4. Shitbox and PC." I assume he's referring to the footstool when he says shitbox.
Maybe.
"If you're not familiar with the series, just bear with me. Imagine a monster-battling turn-based RPG built on the player creating a generic character and jumping into a Yu-Gi-Oh! World weaved from one of the seasons of the show. Not an exact copy, but detailed enough that it has the major landmarks of places from that season. Your goal? Set out on a journey to collect strong enough duel monsters to explore the world, befriend some duelists, defeat other duelists, and ultimately find and halt an organization of necromancers from resurrecting an ancient duel monster that ravaged the entire planet ages ago. Also, considering that Yu-Gi-Oh! Easily has over 1,000 monsters in the series, this will definitely be a collector's game." That sounds pretty cool. I remember you cried your way to a copy of a Yu-Gi-Oh! Game on PlayStation 1 back in the day, right? Or was that PS2?
I cried, but it was PS1. I definitely begged.
I don't recall crying. Preston, I remember tears flowing, if I remember correctly.
I don't know. We were in a GameStop.
Yeah, I think it was in EB Games, actually.
Or somewhere in Oregon.
Yeah. We were on our family vacation. Both of our families had traveled to Oregon together, and we went to the mall for a day. Of all places to go to a mall, we're in the middle of Oregon going to a mall one day.
Yeah.
But we're breaking up the monotony of the beautiful nature there. But we went to an EB Games, and Preston spotted this Yu-Gi-Oh! Game and begged his parents as if he was begging for his life. And he wound up getting that copy, and I watched you play it for the remainder of the trip whenever we were indoors.
Yeah, and I don't think I liked it. It was nothing like Yu-Gi-Oh! It was like a completely different type of game.
Yeah.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Was on the cover, so I had to have it.
Yep. I knew they had that Yu-Gi-Oh! Card game that you and Jacob played for a bit on mobile, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I downloaded it, but I never played it.
Well, I actually played that religiously for like 2 weeks.
Mm.
I liked it. It was hard to play online because people would have decks that were just super overpowered. Like there was a strategy that everybody was using to like win in like 2 or 3 turns. So that was kind of annoying.
Yeah. I never fully understood the game because you cheated your way to victory when you played me a few times. So I never trusted anything I had ever learned about it. So I technically know nothing. But
no,
I like the idea of a full-fledged Yu-Gi-Oh! Game. I don't know how it would do nowadays, but perhaps at the scale of, say, how the Dragon Ball games have been, but Yu-Gi-Oh! Running around. I mean, even like sort of like Pokemon, but you know, it's dual monsters, as Josh Scriber suggested. But I think his idea sounds pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know how big the Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan base is these days. I know a lot of people still collect the cards and play the card game.
The card game is still really big.
So even a game... Even if it's just, I mean, that's again, I would say like, oh, a game like Hearthstone, but as Yu-Gi-Oh, but that already exists on mobile. So,
yeah.
His idea is cool. If people would play it, I'd be up for it. I'd have to learn how to play for real, but sounds pretty cool to me. You have any ideas yourself if you have to pitch a game without a visual presentation? I mean, I've pitched countless games on this podcast.
We've pitched so many.
Yeah. Yeah, if you guys want the ultimate pitch episode, I don't know how this episode holds up, but I remember having a lot of fun with it, and even Zach was on this episode. It's titled Pitching the Next Star Wars Video Game. It is forever ago. I'm talking like maybe episode 40 or 50 or 60, somewhere in there. But we pitched a lot of Star Wars games, a couple of which will probably never exist, but ideas that I think sound really cool. So if you want to hear us pitch some games, I suggest that episode.
Yeah.
Next one comes from Slacko Butt. Slacko Butt says, "Any video game trailers you remember being awesome and then had a game turned out to be, and then the game turned out to be shit? The new Walking Dead game comes to mind." trailers that were good, but the game sucked. I'll have to think about it for a bit. What do you think?
I remember the anytime anybody talks about trailers, they bring up that original Dead Island trailer. I don't think the game sucked. I just didn't like it that much. That trailer got me pretty hyped for it, though.
Game Which one was that again?
The one with the little girl in reverse falling out of the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really awesome trailer.
Yeah.
Didn't dig the game too much. The game definitely didn't suck. It just was not... it was extremely buggy for me on 360, and that kept me from wanting to play it.
Yeah. Overkill's The Walking Dead had incredible trailers, and the game's not very good.
And that game, like, ruined that company.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I told you when I played at E3, I was not even remotely impressed at all. It also ran very poorly, and it seems like the final product wasn't much different from that. But the trailers were breathtaking. So
when you were playing it, were like the developers watching you or anything?
Sort of. It was one of those situations where their capture setup was not responding properly, and it captured the game incorrectly. Like the aspect ratio and frame rate was all off and everything. And I told him, I was like, oh, you know, I'd love to have some B-roll because I knew for COG I was going to do a video version, which I wound up doing, and I got what I needed, thankfully. But they asked if I wanted to play through it again to capture it, and I was like, no, sorry, I can't. I arguably had the time, but I was so bored while I played it. I was like, oh, no, I got what I need, thanks. But any game I can go see early is always an honor. Like, I love doing that, but that game did not impress me in the slightest, so it was kind of a bummer.
Did you tell him that, like... guys, this sucks. Did you say that?
No, I was honest in the impressions, though. I told them that I didn't tell them, obviously, but in the video coverage, I said that it ran a little poorly. And in gameplay wise, it wasn't necessarily innovative. It reminded me of a cross between, you know, like not I think Payday, because it was the Payday developers. It was them. So that and Left 4 Dead and a little bit of State of Decay here and there when you're not in the world, it's actually killing zombies. You kind of have like a mini base area and you can interact with other people and everything. But reminding me of a cross between those three games, and it had elements of all those and did not even live up to the best qualities of any of them. So, a bit of a letdown, but the trailers were awesome.
Isn't it crazy that, like, just kind of in the game world we're in right now, how pretty much for the most part, everything licensed that's coming out is really good? And then, like, The Walking Dead, out of all franchises, just cannot make, like, a good game minus, you know, like, the Telltale games, like, you know?
Yeah. I know it's bizarre because you think, but we have a lot of zombie games already, so what can Walking Dead do other than the characters they've established? And even, I think it comes down to characters, honestly, because every type of zombie game has been done, I feel like, at this point. Yeah. So I think that's why Telltale's seen so much success. Is because their story, not really just the gameplay itself. So that's probably the solution, is if you can do anything Walking Dead related, it has to be character focused.
Yeah.
Let's see here. That's just... Oh, we've answered those. I'm gonna grab at least one more before we scoot. That's too old. there's got to be something here. I don't know, man. I don't know if we had anything.
Then we're good. We don't need to read a question.
Yeah, I won't make you guys sit here in silence for too long.
We've done that too long.
We have. But minimal news, minimal community questions, but... almost made it to an hour and a half. I think it was pretty solid. I had a great time talking to you nonetheless, Preston. I hope we didn't bore everyone to death this week. I know it was slow, not a whole lot going on, but next week should be awesome. Jacob should be back. Three of us will be together, hopefully, and we'll talk about our games of the year, our top five games and whatnot, and just some other stuff we want to discuss. Because this year was absolutely phenomenal for games. One of the best in our lifetime, I'd say. And 2019 is looking very bright, so... plenty to talk about for the remainder of this year on the podcast, and we look forward to talking to you guys in the comments below. We encourage you to comment below on anything we discuss this week, anything you'd like to hear us talk about next week, perhaps. And please keep those community questions coming, because we'd love to have some for a final Ask IOG of the year. And Maybe another good way to reflect on our year as a whole, sort of like an end of the year podcast on the next Ask IOG. So keep those coming if you're willing. And I think that's it for me, Preston, if you want to sign us out here.
Yeah, man, sounds good. This is the It's Obvious podcast, the show where my best friend and I get together every single week to discuss video games, obviously. Please subscribe to the channel over at youtube.com/It's Obvious Gaming, and also subscribe to us over on the Apple podcasting app. That helps us out a whole bunch, and we would be very thankful for that. Please like and comment as well. Please just check the description down below. Follow us on all our social media pages, blah, blah, blah. But I think that'll do it for this week, Garrett.
Yes, sir. I'm going to go back to Atlanta and walk the dog and go to work, my friend.
That sounds great. I'm going to go back to sleep.
Oh, dude, I'm so envious, man. That makes me want to throw up and cry.
I only had like 3 hours of sleep last night, so.
Man. Yeah, I didn't sleep long myself, but I do not have that option, unfortunately.
I'm sorry.
But, think about me while you dream. Think about me in your dreams.
I will dream about me. I will. Copy that.
Cool. I appreciate that. Yep. You know what I just thought of?
What?
That EB Games Call of Duty Advanced Warfare trailer.
Dude, I've been quoting that copy that like for 2 weeks now because of that commercial. Yeah.
Copy that. Man, what a work of art that trailer is.
It's great. But anyways, right. Thanks guys for listening to us, and we look forward to talking to y'all next week. See ya.